Session number 28500, reel 19.
There wasn't much damage in it at all, even though there had been fighting there, but it was cleaned up. And of course there was a strong British presence in the British mission in there, and the officer in charge, and went and saw him, and he a nice character, and I went to him and I said, going home. Yeah, I said, but one thing I'd like to do, I said, is visit my brother's grave in France. Oh, no problem. So he said, you go off and do that, and when you come back, just let us know when you're back so that we know you're here. So I went off. I went and saw where my brother had been killed, and also to the cemetery where where he was buried, and then came back to headquarters again. Saw this CO and then came home. So that was me finished, yes.
Okay. Can I ask you one or two questions about when the battalion were disbanding as well?
Yes.
Was there a ceremony or anything? You know how, like, when colours are handed over and things, there's always a ceremony. Was there anything like that with the disbandment of it?
No, what we had done was the battalion colours and the flags that were all packed up and processed and sent off before, and they came home on their own back to Keith. That was all done before the actual disbandment, so that was finished.
And so the 6th Battalion, was that actually where it was raised? Was it raised at Keith?
Yes, headquarters was Keith, you see, so therefore everything came back to Keith. Of course, we'd been promised that we would be taken back by the government, but then they changed their mind and didn't. So, but there, yeah, it all worked out.
Part 4.
What?
And you returned to Aberdeen.
Yes.
And did you stay in the regular army then?
Yes. I couldn't go abroad. That was the only thing. I had to stay at home, and which is a bit of a nuisance, but still, I just had to wait because the medical people said it'd take maybe 2 or 3 years to clear, which it did, of course. But once it cleared, I was accepted in 52. In fact, I was accepted actually in 51, but he said, just hang on to see how that's going to do, and make sure that you are clear before you go. This was a slow business. So 52, I was able in August to join the 1st Battalion in Malaya.
And between that time, did you stay in Aberdeen, or did you go to Edinburgh or anywhere with the battalion? Part 5. And we were speaking about when you were back in Britain. Were you based between returning from Palestine and that, and then going to Malaya? Were you based in Aberdeen or Edinburgh?
Aberdeen, yes, well, Aberdeen and Edinburgh were my two main bases, yeah.
Did you get married quarters or anything?
I got married in 1947, 1st of March 1947. I came home. And that was that. And then when I went out in 52, Kathleen followed on 6 months later with Roderick. And then Fiona was born in Malaya. And we came back in 55. With Roderick and Fiona. Mm-hmm. And we landed at Aberdeen Station, and it was at Christmas time, and the snow on the ground, and Roderick went and immediately rolled himself in the snow. He never seen snow. Yeah, so it was quite funny.
And were the wives allowed out to Malaya with you?
Yes. I went out and she followed. 6 months later with Rotley. That was the procedure at the time. It would take about 6 months to, you know, book it on a ship going out at that time. So it was good.
And did you travel out with the battalion?
Yes.
Right. And how did you get out there? Was it ships by
ship? Alright. Oh, a lovely voyage. And you really enjoyed it. It was good.
Do you remember the ship's name?
Oh, gosh. Oh, heavens.
Don't worry if you don't.
It's a converted German ship, actually. I've got a photograph of the minutes for this thing now.
Had it been a captured one or something?
Aye. Oh, very good. It was very comfortable.
Do you think it was better than our ships?
Oh, well, it was all right. But the sea voyage was much better. See, it was much longer, and you got a nice chance to build up on it, to the same coming home. Whereas the day when you fly, you're here, you're there in the morning, and you're back home at night. It's a big difference.
Do you remember how long it took you to get there?
Yeah, about 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
I know that you were a company commander, were you?
Yeah.
So did that mean that you had accommodation to yourself and everything?
Yeah, well, you'd always being a company commander, you had your own tent, and that it was all tented, and sometimes missing huts, you know, but you'd always your own tent, yeah.
And what about on the ship? Did you have your own accommodation on the ship?
Oh, yes. I was very lucky having a cabin to myself. I don't know why, but the small cabin, and very comfortable. Very comfortable.
And you know how, like, nowadays we might be expecting an ensuite, toilet and that with your own cabin. Was there anything like that then, or was it all like shared showers and things?
Well, mostly shared, yes. Maybe the higher ups, like brigadiers and that, the CEOs, they might have an individual assessment, but mostly it was just shared. Yeah.
And what did you do to occupy yourself during that 3 weeks?
Oh, games was the most, tennis, volleyball and so forth, to keep fit. That was the main thing. Oh. And walking out to the deck, round and round the deck, you could walk for quite a while. But to keep yourself fit was the main thing.
And was there enough room to play that type of game?
Oh, yes, there was special places where the games rooms where you could go and you had to book, because there were so many in the ship, you had to book in a time that you would go there and play.
And do you remember if the ship stopped anywhere on the way across?
Going out? Well, if it went by South Africa, then it usually stopped in Cape Town, usually. And then Indian Ocean, and finished up at Singapore, from there.
And did your one stop at Cape Town, do you remember?
Yes, it did, for a day at least, anyhow. It was really good.
Did you get on shore? Did you go?
You could go on shore for a very short time. Yeah.
Did you?
I did, yes, just to be able to go into land for a change.
Did you like what you saw of Cape Town?
Oh, yes. Oh, it was obviously a pretty influential area, and the people were very, very pro-British, you know. Mm-hmm.
So what were your first thoughts of Singapore when you arrived there?
Oh, it was busy, very busy, bustling port, and a lot of Chinese, Malay dominating the area. Otherwise, it was much, and the hotels were very good too, yeah.
And did you stay in Singapore for any length of time?
No, just the one day, one night, and then on the train for the upcountry next day. And the train journey wasn't too long, it was quite good actually. Mm-hmm. Came off at Tampin. Tampin was the headquarters. And I commanded the company at the just south of Tampin, Gemas.
And so where about was your camp? Your
At Gemas.
And was that a proper camp you had?
Oh, yes, it was a proper British station. Right.
And was it a large place?
Oh, fairly big. It was all the tented accommodation, with the exception of the mess. The messes were the actual buildings. Right. But the living accommodation was all tented.
And that was already there when you got there,
yep.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
And what were you doing out there? What was your role out there?
The role was to keep the peace with the... there was certain areas where there was characters roaming around who liked to create trouble, you know, firing and camps and so forth, and creating little trouble here and there. But otherwise, it was quite quiet.
And was this a built-up area or anything?
Pardon?
This, where you were, was it a built-up area?
Well, Guinness was just a small town, and the camp was just in the outskirts of it, right hard up against the jungle. And it seemed, you know, it couldn't be very safe being so close to the trees, but there, it was all right.
And did the camp have a fence in that round it?
Yes,
that
was fenced in.
So it was like guards on duty?
No, yes, native guards, you know, Malays and Chinese and so forth.
And how were they towards the British? Were they okay?
Okay, yes, we got on well with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you ever have to go into the jungle?
Oh, yes, in the jungle quite often. And I had a lot to do with the Oster flights, you know, the aircraft going over the jungle and looking out for the areas where the terrorists were stationed and having crops. And the idea was that as soon as a crop was spotted, it was trying to destroy it, you see. So I spent a lot of time in the air with the Austens. It was good, I enjoyed it. It was good.
And was that with like a fixed wing aircraft?
Yes,
or a
fixed wing. Yeah.
Okay. And what was the terrorists' aims? What were they trying to do?
Oh, just to create trouble, you know, amongst the population, amongst the ordinary people. That was where Templar came in, you see, and they created new villages and put fences around them so that it stopped the terrorists getting food, because that was their main trouble. If you could stop them getting food, then you could do a lot of good. But very difficult.
So when you went up in these aircrafts, were you, what was happening then? You know, were you taking the positions of them or something?
Yes, noting where the places seemed to be, and we decided then either to bomb it or to put a patrol in to destroy it. But to stop them getting food was the main thing.
And was it difficult to get a patrol in, you know, with our roads or paths or anything?
It was. It took a while. They used a while to get in. Sometimes we managed to fly them in by helicopter, which helped. But then you gave your position away as soon as you went over the jungle in the helicopter. But it worked, yeah. Okay.
And when you went across in a fixed wing as well, were the terrorists never trying to fire at you or anything?
Well, there were cases where they were fired on, but never successfully. No, I know.
And had you received special training for this work you were doing?
No, I'd always been interested in flying, you know, aircraft, so it didn't bother me one little bit. But then the big idea used to get a bit worried, because he said, don't want you away in the air too often, in case you get shot down.
But you were getting flown, you weren't flying the aircraft yourself, were you?
No, I was just, obviously, I think. The pilot was responsible for the craft. They're very good, too, they were.
But I was meaning, you know, like, did you have special training about locating the...
Oh, yes, well, I was trained for the map reading business of mapping in the jungle, you know, so you could pinpoint the place where the gardens were, and either they destroy them or else put a patrol in to finish them off.
Was there any proper maps of the jungle? Or?
Yes, we eventually, when I went out first, the maps were very, very poor, but gradually we got much better maps, because we had an ordnance survey unit there making the maps, so the maps were accurate. That was one good thing.
And when your wife came out, did she still live in the camp with you?
Yes, she still stayed in the camp where we were. And of course, some of them had married quarters where you had a proper house. And they stayed, it was all right if you got that. But mostly hutted accommodation, but we did get chances where we had a house, a private house to stay in. Yeah.
Was that still within the camp boundaries?
Yes, within the boundaries, yes, protected.
Okay, and was there other young families there for, you know, your family in Mixwood?
Oh yes, there was more families, and they were all gathered in such a way that they were protected, you know, with patrols and so forth, because you had to do that.
And, you know, for the wives as well, was there any outlets for them? You know, was there a town nearby where they could maybe do shopping or anything?
Oh yes, there was usually a town or a place where there was a club, and you could get food and you could get meals and so forth. So it wasn't too bad really, no.
Okay then. And did you ever have to go into the jungle yourself? Was there any occasion?
Oh yes, I was in the jungle quite often. And it was only a way of bringing yourself up to date with mapping in the jungle and the conditions in the jungle, and being able to move in the jungle properly, yes.
And did you have a different uniform or anything then? No,
just the khaki, the jungle green colour, same as the jungle. Right.
And was it quite lightweight?
Quite lightweight, yeah.
And what about boots or anything?
Boots was always a problem because you're always in water. I mean, no matter where you went, your feet were wet. It was always wet.
And was it hot in the jungle as well?
Right, yes. And the mosquitoes was the worst thing.
Was there anything else you had to worry about in there, you know?
You watch skin. You got skin problems too. If in the jungle, you should get an ointment to put on to protect the areas that were, you know, that you're able to have problems with.
And what about sunburn or anything? Were you ever affected by anything like that across there?
Could do, but in the jungle, of course, it was you were always out of sunlight. I mean, it was always dark. It was always clear of sunlight.
And did you ever come across the terrorists there?
Oh, I came across them a few times. In battles in the jungle. Just lucky at times, but you had to move very carefully because it was so easy to make a noise, you know. And the sounds in the jungle were completely accentuated, you know, it seemed to be much, and because you're moving about quietly and that, you could hear most of the things going on, it was good. And of course you got accustomed to it, the more you went into the jungle, the easier it was to work out. Mm-hmm.
And did the animals ever give positions away, you know, did like monkeys or anything ever make a noise?
You had to watch that because when they started making a noise, then you could rest assured that the terrorists would hear the noise too. That was always a problem in the jungle with the apes and that, yeah. Because they were always aggressive and they were coming sweeping down and making an awful noise, and of course if that was happening then the enemy was happening it too. They were hearing it.
Did they ever attack you or anything?
Oh yes, they attacked a few times with the apes. They were a pest that way. Mm-hmm.
So they would physically attack you, would they?
Oh, they would, swooping down and trying to get you. And a nuisance for you.
Uh-huh. And what about trackers or anything? Did you use them?
Oh yes, we did. Everyone tracked us all the time. Right. And very handy because they could read the different signs and they were very good at moving through the jungle, you know.
Okay.